Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Last Sunday was Testimony Sunday, but I did not come forward to testify. I thought I would incorporate some of my testimony into what I would be sharing this morning. I hope you're not too tired of listening to testimonies. In any case, preaching is testimony.
Amen.
The last few months, especially the recent 2 weeks, have been troubling times for many people. The events that are going on in our world, our nation, including our local city, Minneapolis, Chicago, Colorado Springs, Paris, Beirut, Syria, Nigeria, many places in our world, endless troubles. And for me personally, concern about serious health issues with some of my close family members, especially my sister-in-law and a grandniece born 2 months ago. Though there was not much commentary last Sunday after the reading of the gospel from John chapter 18, which was about the kingship of Jesus Christ, it was Christ the King Sunday, I have been thinking about what it means to say that Christ is King in the midst of all these things that are happening. What does it mean to proclaim Christ as King with all the devastating and chaotic things happening around us? Who really is leaning in our world? Is Christ still and always in control? As Daniel shared last Sunday about this baked theology, we have been taught, and we sometimes say it, and it's a beautiful phrase, that Christ is still on the throne. I remember growing up saying and hearing that over and over again. And what if he's not always in control? What is the good news? Today's reading from Luke that we listened to didn't seem comforting either. There seemed to have been warnings and some terrifying things, if anything. But I couldn't get away from using this text. I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to us as we try to make sense of this text in light of what's happening. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. So at first glance, this reading from Luke 21 for our current time and circumstances might easily be interpreted to be a proof of Jesus' prophecy. See, some people might say, it's happening just as Jesus predicted. But is this really true? Was Jesus predicting our future or stating the truth of our time as it is, and as we know it? I believe in the latter. God's word is timely for all times. Amen. The relevancy of God's word for all times is a key to our understanding of this message. Things all happen in God's timing. Perhaps a friend you have not connected with for a long time calls you and gives you a message just at the time you needed it. In a moment of fear and confusion, or perhaps a problem you have been struggling with just gets resolved in ways that you did not expect. Perhaps we also have issues in our personal lives right now. And also, in lives of our loved ones that we are waiting to be resolved. I have some of this as I testified. As a church, we are starting the Advent season. Today being the first Sunday, we just lit the candle. Advent means coming. And it's taken from the Latin word Adventus, which translated from the Greek word parousia, commonly refers to the second coming of Christ. As Christians, the season of Advent offers the opportunity to share in the ancient longing of the coming of the Messiah and reminds us to be alert for his second coming. The long-awaited promised Savior came at just the right time, when the fullness of time had come. This word comes to us today at a moment of waiting. We are eager to see how these confusing events in our world and all around us will unfold. But let's be honest, waiting can be both joyful and stressful. It evokes both excitement and anxiety. But why would we be reading the message of Christ's second coming in Advent? We are thinking of Christmas, and the Christmas tree reminds us of that. The coming of the Messiah, our Savior, through the birth of Jesus as a baby, provides a tender reminder that all is not gloom. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Like God's people then, we can see our redemption. His second coming will similarly not all be gloom. His appearance signifies our redemption, as Luke writes in the verses just read. And I will read verses 25 through 28 again. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Reading this message today, in light of all these events, we may easily focus on the gloom. But my friends, look carefully. Notice also that in the midst of the terrifying signs, there is good news, as verse 27 says. The Son of Man, our Savior, will also show up with power and great glory. Let us not miss seeing him when he appears. Caroline Lewis, professor of preaching at Luther Seminary, says that the timing of this reading for a time such as this is to help us see beyond our present, to give us a lens through which to see God at work when it seems only evil gets the spotlight, to assure us that God has secured a future for us that breaks into our present and really truly changes our here and now. Fear is real and justifiable. We fear for the unknown. We also fear facing or living with dreadful realities that seem beyond our control. How can we find good news in the midst of chaos in our lives, when the peace and justice we hope for and we witness this in our world, nothing like that? The more we pray that justice and righteousness will be established, the more we hear more dreadful things. It seems that peace and justice are elusive. When the diagnosis of loved ones just get confirmed to be what we feared. What about when we are afraid that our loved ones on duty may not come home safely? What of the struggles we have with things such as addictions, all those of our loved ones, becomes just more destructive, and many other things. How is it possible to find good news? How can we spot good news in such times? As I was thinking about this, in the last week, two young families recently helped me to get a glimpse of how we can spot good news. I visited for a while with a couple that came at my place of work with a two-year-old that was born with Down syndrome. As I was visiting with the mom who had the two boys, her husband came, and he was wearing eyeglasses. The baby who was facing the front with the mom, having him in the carrier, perfectly grabbed the eyeglasses and threw them in the air. And the family cheered him, and they were clapping their hands. Go, Theo, go, Theo. I was awed. They went on to explain the things that they are witnessing with his development and how perfect and calculated this was, and that they are now beginning to witness many more things that he can do. They could rejoice. Thankfully, the glasses of the dad didn't break. But it's remarkable that they can find something to celebrate. The other story is from my own family in Kenya, as I mentioned, and some of you may know because we have my grandniece in prayer. This baby, Gathoni, is the firstborn to my nephew Sam and his wife Lillian, born 2 weeks ago last Sunday. The joyful news of her delivery also came with an unfortunate discovery that she had what is called ventricular septal defect, also known as VSD. This is a hole in the wall of the that separates the two lower chambers of the heart. And for some babies, it may close just before they are born. But when it does not, it may cause higher pressure in the heart or reduced oxygen to the body and also slow the baby's growth. It may also lead to other complications. To prevent this, surgical repair through open heart surgery is recommended as worse for this baby. For a couple of weeks, we went on rampage to find places and doctors for the procedure. I sought prayer for support and guidance, including from some of you here, and thank you for that support. As you might imagine, the thought of open heart surgery for such a little one, the delicateness, not to mention the cost and risk, have been terrifying. But here's what Lillian, the baby's mom, said to me last week when I called to check on how they were holding on. Auntie Lucy, thank you so much for your encouragement. Sam and I have resolved to enjoy every moment with this baby and live one day at a time. I will not let the fear of unknown take away the joy of being with her today. She went on to explain how the baby was feeding well, resting, and now even smiling and engaging a lot more with people. And she sent me pictures, and they're just gorgeous. She can see and testify to this. Like these two young families, let us recognize and celebrate what we yet have each day. As we wait, though stressful, we can do so with thankfulness. A thankful heart is a proven antidote to life's daily stresses. With gratitude and hope, our limitations pale as we realize the many blessings we have. Gratitude has been known to bring healing. Let us wait with hope and thankfulness for the Lord's coming to intervene in all those situations that we experience. Advent reminds us that we are between two great poles of God's intervention in our world. On one end, God's breaking in the form of flesh, coming as a baby, his passion and triumph over death. And on the other end, Christ's second return, when he will triumph over death that stings us and all evil that plagues us. As we wait in these in-between times, may we find hope to sustain us, hope that hangs in God's promises. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. We shall live each day knowing that Jesus has experienced while in this flesh, just like us, what we go through, and therefore understands us, and he knows our fears and struggles, sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. Yes, he has come, he is with us, and he will come again. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for reminding us that your coming is not all gloom. Help us to stay on guard so that our hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that the day of your return does not catch us unexpectedly like a trap. Grant us the strength so we can escape all the things that will take place and be able to see and stand before the Son of Man, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.